Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, if you have not been here before, if you've missed the last couple of weeks, we are in the middle of our playlist series. We're basically taking a look at the different songs that might be on our playlist, and we're just breaking them down and asking the question, what does God have to say about the content of this song, okay? And so my week is, I'm going to be talking about being at an all-time low. And I had a little bit of a low point this week. Now, it's not the end of the world. I'm aware. This is a first world problem I'm about to share with you. But you all know, we drove our van, our red van, the beautiful red van. We drove it for 14 years. And just recently, I've made 3 payments on my new van. Count them. 3. Okay? And I was taking my daughter early in the morning to Bible study at high school. Okay, Jesus, we were going to Bible study at high school at 7. It was early. And a garbage truck came up and just sideswiped the back of my beautiful classy. Guys, it's so classy. My van is so classy. I love it. Isn't it pretty? That's a $6,000 claim. Thank you, Jesus, for insurance. Okay, but it's okay. I'm in a rental. Okay, take it down. I can't bear it. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So that happened today, or this week. And I have a rental car, and we're just kind of squished, but Jesus is on the throne, and God is good, and here we are. It's my turn to speak. So I'm all thrown off my game watching him sing, and I feel like God's been telling me a few different, he's shown me a few different things in the scripture today, too, so I'm kind of so you're in for a ride. Are you ready? Okay. So today we're talking about being at an all-time low, and we're going to look at a character in the Bible, a person in the Bible. It's not a character, not made up fictional, a person, a real person in the Bible. He's found in the Old Testament. Now, your Bible's made up of 2 parts. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're going Old Testament. This is kind of history, leading up, Israel's history, and then leading up to the coming Messiah that Jesus would be, God's plan to save the world. That's Jesus' story and on is in the New Testament. And we're being in the Old Testament this week. That's just a little sidebar if you aren't familiar with how that all Bible stuff works. Okay, so we're going to be looking at Elijah. Everybody say Elijah.
Elijah.
Yeah, you can do better. Say Elijah.
Elijah.
Thank you. Okay, I had to make sure that you're with me. Okay, Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament. And in Israel's history, there would be a prophet and there would be a king, okay? And the king was like the king and he ruled the people, right? And the prophet's job was to hear from God. And the prophets would tell the people what God was saying, where God was directing, and they would also tell the king, hey, this is what we should do. And in Israel's history, when the kings would listen to the prophet and would, follow God, things would go well for Israel. And when they would not listen to the prophet and when they would turn and do their own thing, things would go bad for Israel. And one other little nugget I think that you need to know, it's kind of interesting, is actually the whole kingdom thing began. All of God's people, they were slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years, right? And Moses led them out. You all know that story. Okay, so he led them out, and then, God gave them the 10 commandments. Here's how you're going to live. Here's how you're going to live free to follow me. All right? And then they followed God, and God was their ruler. But then they got restless, and they wanted to be like everybody else. And so they were like, give us a king. We want a king. We want to be like everybody else. And God was like, a king will be rough on you. I will lead you just fine. But we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. And so God relented, and he gave them a king. And the way he did that, the very first king, was that he told a prophet, here's what I want you to do. He told him where to go, and he told him who was going to be the first king of Israel. And it's your job, prophet, to go and anoint them, put oil on their head, and say, I anoint you king of Israel, okay? And that's how, so the prophet was like a king maker, okay? That's kind of just some interesting history that you need to know. So fast forward way far into the future through the kings of Israel, and we find Elijah. And the king and the queen who are on the throne are Ahab and Jezebel. Say Jezebel. Okay, my sister just had a baby. She's so precious. I have a little niece. Her name's Charlie Jean. Isn't that adorable? Jezebel wasn't anywhere in the running because Jezebel was awful. She was, Ahab and Jezebel are listed, and they've gone down in history as the most wicked king and queen in the history of Israel. And they were that way for a couple reasons, okay? One is that they basically, Jezebel was from a foreign nation, okay? So she married Ahab, and she brought with her her foreign gods. And so they went down, and they ripped away and tore down all of the altars where they would go to worship God. They tore them all down, and they introduced Baal worship and worship of other gods, okay? Now, you might be like, well, I mean, that kind of stinks, but what's the big deal? Here's why that's a big deal. Remember, the people, the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. God leads them out, okay? And when he leads them out, he tells them, he's like, okay, you've been slaves for 400 years, and you need to know how to live free. And so to help you live free, I'm going to give you these 10 commandments. This is how you're going to live. You're going to honor me, and it's going to go well for you. Here's how you're going to live free. And he gives them the 10 commandments, okay? I'm not going through all the 10 commandments. Thank you, Jesus. You all want to get to lunch on time. But the first two commandments, okay? The first two, top two, one, two. One is, you will have no other gods before me. No other gods before me. When my kids were little, we kind of did a little finger play puppet thing to help them remember. We would break it down, and the one was, put God first, okay? Put God first. And then the second, and it kind of just went along with it, was, you know, don't make any idols and bow down and worship them. And so with my kids, I would say, okay, one is put God first, and two is no idols. Say, put God first.
Put God.
Yes. Now say, no idols.
No idols.
Okay, so this is a big deal. This is like following God basics 101, and Ahab and Jezebel have come in, and they've just ripped it away, and they've brought in, they've set up idols to pagan gods. The worship of Baal, it was very sensual. Part of the way that you would worship was you would go and you would, there would be temple prostitutes there. I mean, it was just, it was an abomination to the Lord. And so that has happened. Not only that, but Ahab and Jezebel, they are against anything that is for God. And so they have hunted down all of the prophets, and they have put them to death, okay? So this is where we find Elijah. Elijah, he's off, and he hides in the wilderness. There's a great famine in the land, and God is providing for him like the ravens are bringing him food. Like, it's this crazy, alone existence when God tells him what to do. And so leading up to the place where we're going to find him at his all-time low, there was this kind of amazing thing that happened. Elijah goes to King Ahab. Like, can you imagine? Like, I'd have my knees knocking if, like, you've killed all the other prophets. But he goes to King Ahab, and he calls to him, and he says, I want you to bring out all of the people. And I want you to bring out, there was like 850 prophets to these other gods. He's like, bring them all out. I'm all that's left, but bring them out too, and bring out all the children of Israel. And it was kind of like a duel. We're going to have a duel. We're going to have a contest on Mount Carmel. And so basically they brought all the people together, and they set up an altar, and there were two calves, and he let the prophets of Baal pick which calf they wanted, and they built an altar, and they built up the wood, and they slaughtered the calf and put it on the altar. And then basically what you do if you were going to make a sacrifice is you would burn it, okay? But the contest was, you're going to call on your God, call on your gods, plural, and ask them to consume it with fire. Start the fire. If your God is a god, he can do that. And so the prophets of Baal, and Elijah's like, you can go first. And so, like, for all day, they are crying out to Baal, calling out, you know, oh, Baal, you know, and they're cutting themselves, they're harming themselves. And Elijah gets a little lippy. It's kind of funny. You should go back and you should read it in 1 Kings. Like, he starts to mock them around noon. He's like, yeah, you know, maybe Baal's like, maybe he's just going pee. Like, maybe, like relieving himself. I'm sorry, that was a little crass. I'm sorry. But he is mocking them and whatever. So then it got to be about the time that you would make the sacrifice. And so Elijah, he takes, and there's an altar that has been torn down. And he rebuilds this altar, and he has a stone for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he rebuilds it, and he puts the wood on there, and he puts the calf on there, and then he just wants to show off a little bit, and he digs a trench around it, okay? And then he's like, bring some water and pour it on my sacrifice here. So they bring water. He has them do that, I think, like 3 times. So he's just like, just serious. He's just showing off here. And so then he calls on the Lord. He's like, prove that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Prove that you have told me to do this, and prove that you are God. And he's like, because if God is God, let's worship him. And if Baal is God, let's worship him. But let's get this straight. That's the point. And so what God does, you guys, I'm going to read this little portion just so you, I don't want to miss anything. So he calls out, and then immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven, and it burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It burned the dust, people. It even licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their face, and they cried out, "The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God." So God has shown up in a huge way for Elijah. And I would like to say that, and then Ahab and Jezebel were like, "Oh, we were wrong. We're sorry. Lord, forgive us." And then they turned and Israel, but that is not what happened, okay? Jezebel and Ahab were so furious. They were beside themselves. And so they were like, "No, we are sentencing Elijah to death," okay? And so he is just, here he is again. It's just like this cycle that he's in, where he tells people what God is doing, and they turn from God. And then he's on the run for his life. And now he finds himself on the run for his life again. Let's read about it in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 3. Elijah was afraid, and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went down alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died." Guys, he's been living in isolation. He's been living just on the run with somebody after him for a long time. And he is back down in just the deepest of despair. And it's a cycle that he doesn't think he can ever get out of. And so he's there alone, just sitting under a tree, calling on God, "Take me now." There's a couple things I want to pull out of this portion of the passage. First is, I know that there are probably people here and you struggle with depression. And you'll just experience the lowest of lows just to crawl your way out to just plunder right back down. And you feel like you're caught in a cycle and a circle that will never end. Or there may be people who are dealing with, there was a tragedy that's happened and you don't think you can ever recover. The waves of despair just come one after another, after another, after another. And I want to encourage you today. I am God's messenger today. With trembling knees, I tell you, God sees you where you are. It is not hopeless. And don't you dare give up today. And here's the other thing I want to take out of this, is Elijah's, he is down and out, and he wants to die, but he is still engaging with his creator. He is still talking to God about it, okay? He's not taking it into his own hands and saying, "Yeah, like, I'm done, check out." Like, that is not God's plan for you. If you're having secret thoughts like that, that is not God's plan. You call out on God, you get help. That is not the answer. So he stays engaged with God. And I think we get very hung up on the way that we need to talk to God and the way that we need to approach him. We think that, well, when we pray, we need to say the right words. We need to say what God wants to hear. But I am just, look at Elijah. He is telling God exactly where he's at. And I'm telling you, God knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling anyway. And the relationship he wants to have with you as his child is a relationship where it's honest and it's authentic. So God can take your, hey, God, this sucks and I want to die. He can take that. So I challenge you, engage with your Creator. Stay engaged with your Heavenly Father. So let's see what happens next. Verse 5, then he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. And he looked around and there was beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and he lay down again. And then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead of you will be too much for you. So he got up and he ate and he drank, and the food he gave him was enough strength to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, where he came into a cave and where he spent the night. Okay, first off, how wonderful is our God, is our Heavenly Father, that when we cry out in authentic words, that he meets us right where we are. Right there in the wilderness, under a tree, all by himself, he comes and he refreshes Elijah. He takes care of his physical need. It is God's plan. It is his will for you, my dear people, to have rest and to be nourished. So God comes and he gives him exactly what he needs right there. Okay, this wasn't in my notes and it wasn't in my plan, but I'm going to tell you a story, and it's relevant, maybe it's for someone. So I want to tell you about a time where God met me right where I was, and I was at a very, very low point, okay? I was 18 years old. My parents were in the middle of getting a divorce. We were very sad about that. And I had a military boy who asked me to marry him. And I was like, okay, I'll marry you. I'll get out of here. I'll get out of all this mess. And like, as a kid too, it's like, is anybody really going to want to marry me? You have those thoughts like, that's not ever going to happen. And so I agreed to marry this dude. And when I would talk about, hey, do you want to go to church? Do you want to? And he was like, after the military. And that really didn't set well, but, you know, whatever. So fast forward, I end up in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune. And I, you know, he's driven me there. And I am like, okay, God, I can just feel it. I'm sick in my gut because I know that I need to get out of this relationship. And I need to serve the Lord with all my heart. But going home, there's going to be the mess at home and so all that. So anyways, so I call my mom and in code, I'm trying to tell her, you know, so that I want to leave this dude. And so she gets me a bus ticket and I get, you know, she calls me back and it's before cell phones. And she's like, you've got 2 hours to get to the bus station. And we got a ticket for you to come home. So I've got 2 hours to break up with him and get him to get me to the bus station. So I do that. It's horrible. And he takes me to the bus station, and I'm on the bus for, like, hours. I mean, I think it was, like, 15. It may have even been 20, but I don't want to exaggerate. But it was very long. And I'm on the bus, and one dude I was sitting next to had just gotten out of prison. He was so happy to show me his release papers. And I've done all these different transfers, and finally, I'm getting on the bus to come to Bloomington. Thank you, Jesus. And when I got on the, too, here's the thing, guys. Here's how low, like this sounds like, yeah, how low were you? Well, let me tell you, my 18-year-old little self, like I get on the bus and we pull away and I just like full on crazy and like, like crying, ugly crying, uncontrollably, loud ugly crying. Like people had to think I was losing it. And I'm calling out to God and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like, I will serve you with everything. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Just help me. And I am so sorry. And I am just wrung out. And I am emotionally drained. And I'm exhausted. And so, I mean, I was just not in a good place. So I get to the bus and I'm like, okay, is this the bus to Bloomington? They're like, yeah. So I get on, realize I'm on the wrong bus. So I go on up to I was on the bus to Bloomington, Indiana. There's two Bloomingtons. So I go up to the bus driver and I'm like, I am going to Bloomington, Illinois, not Bloomington, Indiana. And he's like, well, sorry. And I'm like, no, you have to let me off the bus. And so he says, well, I'll drop you off at the Indianapolis airport and you can call Greyhound to deal with it. And I'm 18 and I'm a scrawny little 18 and I'm really pretty innocent little 18 and I'm pretty sheltered. So he drives away, leaves me at the Indianapolis airport, and I am just like lost. And I'm standing there in the lobby of the airport, and I'm just again ugly, crying uncontrollably, just like like really, like if I saw me now, I'd be like, honey, stop. So a gentleman came up to me and was like, what is wrong? And I'm like, I'm stranded. I remember that's all I could get out was stranded. Oh, I'm just like, I'm appalled at myself right now. And so he's like, okay, so he gets me to, you know, get in. And I'm like, and I do not want to get on another bus. Buses are awful. Whatever. So he's like, hang on. So then he comes back and he has secured a plane ticket that leaves. My plane leaves in like, I had 20 minutes to get across the airport, and I didn't have a credit card to pay for it, so I wrote a check, and he put down his credit card so that if the check bounced, that they would have their payment. I believe to this day that was like an angel of mercy, of God meeting me right where I was. Like, hardly all I could say was, you know, God help, I'm sorry, and he met me right where I was, and he scooped me out and began this amazing journey. God meets you right where you are. So here's our main takeaway today. When we're at our lowest, God calls us to listen to him and to seek him out. And when we do that, he refreshes us and he gives us a brand new vision. So God's met him where he is. He's given him the sustenance to feel better, to have strength, to not be hungry. And then he's called him on this 40-day journey to Mount Sinai, okay? And now Mount Sinai is where Moses got the Ten Commandments, okay? You know, our put God first and no idols. That's where God told him all that. So he's calling Elijah for this 40-day travel to get to Mount Sinai. And I think what we like to do is we like to come to church with our sin and with our brokenness and with, you know, just feeling cruddy. And we're here in God's presence and it just lifts us. We just feel better. It's better, right? But God is calling us to more. He's calling us to seek him out. And I think a lot of us stop there at God meeting us where we are, but we're not willing to take that journey. We're not willing to just seek him out. And so sometimes when you are just at your lowest and when tragedy is struck and you just can't imagine life going on, you've got to seek God out. And that journey is not always easy. It's not always pleasant, but it is worth it. It's worth it. Because if you just stay and you don't take the journey, you're still bound up. You don't have that fresh vision that Elijah's going to get an amazing encounter with God and an amazing vision for the future. But if he just stayed right there under that tree and was like, well, I feel better. I think I'll just stay here in my misery because it's what I like to talk about with my friends. It's what I'm known for. If I don't have my misery. So I encourage you, take the journey. Seek God out. So here's what happened. So he comes to Mount Sinai, and the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. And I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. So his problem, his circumstances are the same. And he, after making this journey, going that 40 days, he still's like, I'm on the run, they're trying to kill me. Like, that has not changed. But here's what God says. Go and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Lean in today and listen to your Heavenly Father in that small, still small voice whispering to you, calling you to make that journey. There is a brighter future ahead for you. There is another day ahead for you. You are not done. If you are breathing, God still has plans for you. There is a kingdom to build, and you have a part in it. I love how, like, there wasn't a big crowd there, but just that wind and the earthquake and the fire, that was for Elijah. That was God showing him his might and his power. And then that still, small voice speaking to him. And here's what happened, okay? Elijah gets a new vision. God's like, Elijah is not as alone as he thinks he is. He lets Elijah know, hey, it's time for a new king. And he tells him where to go and who he's going to anoint. There's going to be a new king. It's time. And then he tells him, I want you to go. And he tells him exactly where to go and who to find out. And there's a young man named Elisha. And Elisha is going to be a dear friend to Elijah. And Elisha is going to be the new prophet. And there is going to be a school of prophets that's going to come, and Elijah and Elisha are going to pour into them and mentor them, and there is a new day coming. And as a matter of fact, God lets him know, what's the number? There are 7,000 people who have never bowed down to Baal, and God is going to preserve them. There's a new day coming. There's a better future coming. I know that unspeakable, horrible things can happen to us. But there is a new day coming. God has a future for you. He has a hope for you. You just have to have the guts to stick with it. Stay engaged with God. Stay available. Remember, Chris talked about last week, God's looking for people who are available and who are obedient. He's not looking for people with lots of talent. So stay engaged, stay available, and stay obedient. This works. I can tell you, there's many different circumstances in my life where bad things have happened, but I've stayed engaged with my Heavenly Father. I'm talking to him all the time. He knows all my junk, and he knows when I'm mad and I'm confused and all of those things. As a matter of fact, there was a time where I was really wrapped up in, I walked away from that relationship, but I really wanted to get married, and that was like what I was, like my defining thing. And Chris and I ended up, like, we maybe were going to date, but then we didn't. And I was like, all time low. Like, no, because I just loved him, and I just felt like I knew this was the thing. And I, God, I'm putting all that aside, because that's away and that's gone. And so I was committed. I'm going to spend an hour in Bible study and in prayer because I need you. And so that whole time, I'm just an hour a day, and I'm just pouring out myself to the Lord, staying engaged with God. And then I felt him say, hey, you need to stop praying just about your stuff. And so I was like, okay, God, I'll pray for Terry on Tuesdays. Okay. And so, like, he worked out some, like, selfishness in me and, like, began to help me to learn how to pray for other people. And he gave me a new vision for who I am because of who he says I am. Okay. And so the new vision for myself was that I got to find somebody so that I can have identity as a married lady, but a God confidence in who he says I am and what he has for me to do. And then I was ready for that all business to work out. It did. Oh, stand to your feet. Let's pray. Let's close your eyes. And I just, if you're here today and you're just really, you would say, I am going through something. I am at a low and I need God to meet me right where I am today. Would you just lift a hand? Yes. Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you that you're here. Lord, for each hand that's raised, Lord, you see it. And God, I pray that your spirit would minister to them, would comfort them, and would give them exactly what they need right where they are. And if today you're here and you want to reaffirm that you are willing to take the journey, you're to seek God first, going back to the basics. I'm putting you, God, first. I'm not worshiping anything else. If that is in you right now, lift your hand as a sign to God, this commitment. Lord, we love you. God, we want to take this journey with you. We want to honor you with our lives, God. We want fresh vision. We want to be a part of building your kingdom. So God, would you use us? We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.